The latest corruption case involving a former Massachusetts public office holder is now in the hands of the jury. Prosecutors say former state treasurer and gubernatorial candidate Tim Cahill spent nearly $2 million in public money on ads to promote the state lottery in an effort to energize his flagging campaign for governor. As treasurer, Cahill oversaw the state lottery. Prosecutors say he should go to jail for betraying the public trust. WBUR's David Boeri covered today's closing arguments and joins us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So, sounds like this is just the latest case where emails were Exhibit A.
They certainly were Exhibit A, and if there's a takeaway from this without attributing any guilt or innocence to Cahill, it is that if you're engaged in or plan to engage in corrupt activities, do not use email and get throwaway cell phones. It reminds me of the advice from the boss of the old West End who said, never write if you can speak, never speak if you can nod, never nod if you can wink.
Okay.
But in this case, those emails involving Cahill are embarrassing, they're unflattering, they show that there's been very little divide between the campaign staff and the lottery staff at times during 2010 when he was running for governor.
So he's accused of corruption along with a former top aide of his, Scott Campbell. You heard final arguments today from Prosecutor James O'Brien. What did he say?
He says that these emails are damning, that they show that, in fact, there was no break between the campaign and the lottery, that, in fact, the lottery ads were used to promote Cahill's candidacy for the governor, and they were as a parallel to the actual money that he was spending. And some of those emails, one of them in particular, point to that, where the campaign strategist for Cahill says in an email, "We just found $1 million. Tim has plenty of money." That presumably is talking about the $2 million that was in the lottery for advertising. They used most of that on that campaign. Hmm. Now, here he is in court today, James O'Brien, in his closing argument.
And Mr. Cahill and Mr. Campbell betrayed the official use of the office of the state treasurer of the Commonwealth. We would ask you to find these two men guilty, to hold them responsible for a betrayal that involved plotting and planning and scheming to reach into the pocket of the Massachusetts State Lottery.
Okay, so there's Prosecutor James O'Brien sounding pretty serious. What did the defense have to say in their closing arguments?
The defense's argument here is that this advertising came far too late to have ever helped Cahill, that in fact they were talking at the time about pulling the fork out. His turkey was cooked in this race, so why would he wait till the end of September when his candidacy was already just a far long shot? That's one thing. They say that he was responding to attack ads by the Republican Party, that he essentially was exercising a fiduciary responsibility to the treasurer. But it was interesting because Charles Rankin, who represents Cahill's co-defendant, the campaign manager then, brought up an example here that's very telling, I think. He brought the example up of President Obama and Obama's choice to go to New Jersey rather than to New York after the Hurricane Sandy hit, making sure that emergency aid was responding in time. But at the same time, it's clear to everyone that Obama was meeting with Republican Governor Chris Christie, and certainly there was thought about winning Christie's enthusiastic appreciation. Here's what Charles Rankin said.
Does that make what President Obama did, flying there in Air Force One, criminal? Securing an unwarranted privilege? Engaging in procurement fraud? Traveling with hundreds of Secret Service agents? Of course it doesn't mean that it's criminal.
What Rankin is using are some of the words that are involved in the charge against Cahill.
So clearly there's a thin line, he's saying, between official campaign business and official government activity. And David, this does lead me to this final question. On the one hand, the timing of the ads does look bad for Cahill. But on the other hand, these lottery ads were running, as you said, when his campaign for the governorship was pretty well finished. There was no way he was going to win. And the ads never mention his name, never feature his voice or likeness. I mean, they're not a very effective campaign ad if they were supposed to be campaign ads. So what's a jury to make of this?
Yeah, well, that is the question we all want to see answered. It'll be answered with the verdict. This is the first time the new law is being prosecuted. There are people that say this should never have been brought forward. It doesn't rise to sufficient level that it should have been prosecuted. They point out the fact, yes, that politicians use their offices to promote their campaigns, whether for re-election or for a new office, that it's all part of that. But again, this is based on those emails. The emails can be twisted or used in ways, as Rankin said, that are disturbingly cynical, that make politics seem inherently corrupt, that approach, that bring dark glasses to looking at this type of behavior. That's the defense point. The prosecution's point is we were not, and we would have been cynical to blink our eyes when we saw $1.5 million being taken out of the Treasury to be used for ads to promote Cahill's campaign.
WBUR's David Boeri reporting on the corruption trial of former state treasurer Tim Cahill, which is now before a jury. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Up next, a new WBUR series, Generation Stuck, will explore the challenges facing 20-somethings in today's economy. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.